This topic has been brewing for a while now. Mm-hmm. Ever since Sarah and I started talking about male-female dating dynamics, or just dating dynamics in general, because this is a whole new world, which we'll talk about later. We've had opinions, and a lot of it, admittedly, has been about red flags of dating women, of men dating women, or even women dating women. But very rarely do I read any articles, coherent articles is how I'm going to frame that, about male dating red flags. So I had the bright idea to let Coach Sarah basically come up with a list that she researched, things she agreed with, things she thinks would have been pertinent for the conversation, and to surprise me with it. So I have no idea what is on Sarah's list. I have zero idea. So this is going to be fun for everybody involved, because I am going to have as natural a reaction as humanly possible. And if you know me, you know I tend to get really animated with some of my reactions to things. So Sarah, without further ado, male dating red flags, and go.
All right. Well, first of all, I did go find this article. I will say this. They're really, for whatever reason, there are not a lot of articles on red flags for men. I think this men are a little bit more picky and angry, maybe.
I'm sorry, what? Already? What?
So I did go find this article. I found two articles, and this is the one that's a little bit more pertained to men. I don't know how much you'll react, because some of them you may agree with. So we'll see. But we'll start off with number one. They blame their exes for their past relationship woes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there any kind of description to this? Is there any breakdown? Okay.
Says, so why it's a problem. A man who blames his exes for the problems in his past relationship isn't being honest with himself or you. He likely isn't learning much from his failed relationships either. And if he's particularly jaded about his former relationships, this could spell heartbreak for you.
Well, some would say you and I are jaded this entire show. So maybe we're both guilty of that. As the guy here, I am literally going to say, when I was younger, I would have completely blamed my exes without any sign of accountability. As I've gotten older, I've come to realize in all things dating relationships, there are two to this dance. Sometimes three, depending if you're an open relationship. But in this case, there are two to this dance. I am at fault for my own side of the street. If there were things that were brought up by my partners that said, hey, these are things that I've noticed about you, just as much as I'm willing to say, hey, these are things I've noticed about them. So I will sit here and I will not say, well, that's not true. That's just me being defensive if I say that. Do we blame our exes? I think everyone in their own story tries to paint themselves as the good guy. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
I you know a lot of my dating stories. Yeah. I'm probably the bad guy in some stories. One in particular, I'm definitely the bad guy in one story. But I won't blame her for it. Mm-hmm. I copped to my F-ups. I copped to the stuff that I did and the reasons why that relationship didn't work out.
I will say you do own up to your part of the story from knowing a lot of your stories. You do own up to that part. So look, there's a red flag you don't necessarily have. But there are men out there that just know she was a bitch. She was a slut. There's one particular YouTuber that we follow that I think would be a red flag, because I don't think this person who wrote the 16 red flags for women, I don't think he owns up to his side of, I haven't heard, at least not me. You watch him more than I do, because does he own up to his stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Already. Hey, Jay Kim. He was a bitch.
You're talking about James, right?
No, this is Jay Kim. This is Jonathan.
I know. Okay. James is his significant other, man.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so he's saying James is a bitch. Got you. Great.
Number two. We'll just jump to number two. They chronically complain.
About what?
In general. Chronic complaining often points to an inability to take personal responsibility, Chronic complaining often points to the inability to take personal responsibility in at least one big area of life. Man who chronically complains typically isn't interested in self-improvement or honest reflection. Listening to chronic complaints is exhausting, and it's even worse to be the only person willing to solve their issues in a relationship.
In other words, how a lot of us in, of my age bracket were raised by our parents for men to be the strong, silent type and not share their problems or even discuss their issues. So we had that as Mount Vesuvius, the volcano, and then eventually we erupted. And then thusly, because they're holding on to it, they complain. My father is a prime example to this shit. My father complains every single day about every aspect of being married to my mother. And yet they're still together. My father complains about everything wrong in the universe and they're still together. So to your point, that is a red flag, because if I'm dating a woman also, and all they do is whine and complain about all men are trash, all women are trash, humans are trash, the world is trash. Yeah. You know what? Go take yourself out with the trash. How about that?
It's draining. It's draining. It's draining when someone is, that's all, there's nothing positive. It's just all woe is me. It's a problem, not just dating relationships, friendships too. It can be a real, real problem. Girls do do it too, Lauren.
No need.
Okay, listen, we had one all on women. This one's on men right now, all right? I had to hear about the BS that is women that mostly pertain to physical stuff, not mental stuff.
Just get to the point. Next.
Number three.
Let's shoot you with this rubber band.
They have never really lived on their own.
That's it? Just full stop?
There are bound to be a lot of growing pains with this one. It's not a woman's job to teach a man how to function in the real world. And maybe it is, maybe his own mother, but as much as our culture might joke about bachelor pads needing a woman's touch or men not knowing how to be responsible on their own, it's not cute in real life. You're not going to like this next line, but I'm going to read it. Women already carry the weight of emotional labor everywhere they go. Work, home, dating, no space is safe for us. I don't know about you, but I've got enough on my plate as a working, single mom. I'm not willing to teach a new partner how to become a fully functional member of society. That's how we get men to merely coast through life.
First thing, I want to already disqualify her.
Because she's a single mom? Tell me.
I can already tell the hate this is coming from. This is coming from, like how you said that YouTuber put his 14 or 16 things from a place of hate because of personal experiences. She put this list together because of personal experiences.
Yes.
So who hurt you would be my first question. But I digress. I'll let you have this. All I will say, exactly, Lauren, emotional labor. What? It's one person's perspective. Thank you very much. So what I will say, going back to the whole bachelor pad thing, look, I'll be the first to admit, I used to love living on my own when I was younger, before I was married, before I met my ex-wife, before I dated any woman seriously. I loved living alone. I was living close to the projects, but I was at least living alone. Okay. And then I wound up having my father move in with me after a while, because as you well know, my father for a long time was my role model. So he had fallen on some hard times. I had him living with me. And right after that, all hell broke loose. So living on your own again has been a very freeing, because I can say this, I love living on my own. You know this. I, as much as I love our friends, as much as I love my peoples, being able to come home, and I'm going to be real blunt here, being able to come home after a night of heavy drinking and toss my jeans up on top of my shower curtain and not realize I put them there is a blessing.
It is
a blessing. Or being able to raid my fridge at 3 o'clock in the morning and eat all my damn hummus because I'm hungry. It's a blessing. But you are right. It is not a woman's job to make us better people. We should want to be better people.
I agree.
The goal is be a better person, right? That's the goal. Mm-hmm. I don't need a woman to do that for me. I do enough self-reflecting every single gosh darn day. That's what meditation's for. That's what journaling is for. That's what getting your shit together stands for.
Yep.
So she must be dealing with some real low-level assholery.
You know, I feel the same way about that YouTuber. Honestly. So, number four. I think you'll agree with this one. This is for men and women because we kind of talked about this. They have rarely been single.
Oh, relationship swingers. Mm-hmm. Well, no, not swingers. Vine swingers.
Not swingers. We will get on swingers later.
We will not get on swingers. We will talk about swingers.
We might get on swingers. Well, we're not. We might get on the topic of swingers later. To be clear, why it's a problem. There's a lot of growing up that happens when we're single. This is very, very true. Folks, is what she said, who hop from one relationship to another may be actively sidestepping their own growth. Ooh, I like this. Some men appear so confident when they're in a relationship, but your connection is bound to suffer when it turns out that they get their confidence from other people. You can't possibly give them what they're looking for if they can't handle being alone.
Absolutely right. We've talked about this. Yes, Lauren, that is a hard truth, is that there are plenty of men and women out there who will go from one relationship to the next. They will, after breaking up with someone, they'll show up a week later, talk about, oh, I met the one. I thought the one was 3 months ago. Well, what are you talking about? You literally just met homeboy or homegirl. Like, stop it. Anytime I see that on social media, I roll my eyes very hard. I openly sigh and says, I can't wait to see this one go up in flames in 3 months. And 8 out of 10 times, it does.
Well, it's just, and it's, I'll take it to another level. If they haven't been single long, I feel like they relationship hot means they probably are already have their foot in another relationship on the way out. When you are still in a relationship, but you're looking around shopping and you can't just be okay with the person you're currently with, that's a problem. So I feel that. I feel that red flag.
So high school, college, Tiger Lily would hate listening to this. Mm-hmm. Growth, Tiger Lily, growth. Growth. Wait, so before we move on, this is actually really good because I was just listening to an audiobook about male dating and female dating. And he even mentions that typically women are the ones that have, like we said last week, that have the backup Billy ready to go the minute they break up with somebody. But the key thing there that I was listening to was that they knew the person, and the reason why they stayed in the relationship was to get over the relationship while they were still in it, in order to feel better about moving on to the next
one. Because they can't be alone. Yeah. Yeah,
there's plenty of people who can't be alone. That's they suck problem. At it. They hate it. They get anxiety because they don't know how to stand on their own 2 feet.
Which I get. I get that. I'm very much an extroverted person. I like to be around people. I feel better when I'm around people. That doesn't mean though, like being alone, I'm sitting here freaking out. In the past, would that happen? Yes, but it's something I've actively worked on and had to grow on because it is important to be alone. It is important to reflect upon yourself, and you can't do that when you're constantly surrounded by people. One, you're getting feedback from everyone and their mom. You don't know what to take in and what to listen to. You have to sit down and reflect and figure out what you want, and that requires being alone. And it is okay. And yeah, it's hard some days, especially as an extroverted person. It's hard, but it's so important. It's so important. It's healthy.
It is healthy. What else you got?
Right, for number five. They don't like to hear the word no.
Who does?
Well, I guess we'll see. I'm going to read this before I put my opinion in there. Whether or not a partner can respect you enough to accept your no matters, healthy relationships are built upon trust. which means a partner respects your boundaries. One expert goes so far as to say that you might be able to avoid an abusive relationship by watching their first reaction when you tell them no. There's a link to that. Sure, some men might be obviously abusive by belittling, mocking, or rejecting your anatomy, and others might be more discreet in their manipulation. Autonomy. Yes, I read that wrong. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Some might be more discreet in their manipulation. At the heart of the issue, however, is a big stinking red flag.
Just because no one likes to hear the word no.
No one does like to hear the word no, but how do you handle it?
Like an adult.
Like an adult. There are a lot of men that do not handle no well.
Most extreme, yes. If we're going to talk extremes, as in assaults, as in catcalling, sexual harassment, yeah, them jackanapes can't handle the word no. I hear it all the time when age-old adage of if a man compliments a woman on the street and she doesn't say thank you, she's already a bitch, she's this, she's that, because she didn't say thank you. Or, oh, you should smile more. Well, you know, and then when people don't respond to it positively, it breaks down into some sort of name calling or just F you, I don't like you, or it can go extreme. So I do understand that part. People don't like to hear the word no, but I don't think this is strictly only for men. See, already with this list, I feel like it could be on both sides.
Yeah.
This is very predicated on both. This isn't just strictly for men. If we go back and we look at the 16 red flags to disqualify a woman, there's very few that commingle on both sides.
Which is silly, in my opinion. But
really,
also,
Sarah? Really?
Also realize this. Women, we've talked about this, tend to be more emotional and emotion-driven. And a lot of this is how a man will make them feel emotionally. Men tend to be more physically driven. And all of his 16 red flags were with mostly physical things.
Yep. See, Jeannie just said right on the head. When we say yes too easily, we're called sluts. When we say no, we're a bitch. Can't win. Can't win.
No, you can't win. This was a real situation when I first started getting on dating apps again, way at the start of this year. I had a guy that wanted him over that night, and I was like, no, not gonna happen. Oh yeah. And then instantly he was calling me names, calling me a slut, calling me all kinds of things because I wasn't gonna let him come over and sleep with me that second.
So wait, you're a slut because you didn't let him sleep with you right then and there?
Yeah. Apparently. I was an effing whore. You probably use this as an excuse. You're just a tease. I'm like, dude, I was just saying hi to you. I don't even know. It was crazy. It was crazy. I had another guy. We were supposed to meet up for a date, and my son had gotten sick that day, and he was vomiting. And I texted him, I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I have to cancel. I can't meet up with you. I have a sick son. And then it was instantly, oh, how many times have you used that excuse? What an effing whore you are. You're just a tease. I'm like, what are you even talking about?
It's like this.
Oh.
Men talk like this? Like for real? Yes. Like legit? Men talk like this?
Legitimately. I wish I was making this up. I really do. You want to know why I have a hard time dating? Because of men. Because of what has been presented to me. Listen, I did not date very much. I have not dated since COVID. And when I did, there was one good date that came out of it. Just one. The rest of them were insane.
Better one than none, right?
Better one than none. This one is going to come. Women aren't going to look at the physical and see red flags. They're going to watch how men act. Men will look at the physical and call it red flags.
All right. Well, I guess a lot of it does have to do with the machismo mindset we talk about constantly here that I've dealt with my clients, especially recently. I got a couple of male clients that I've had to mentally slap for their antiquated views and just being overall jerks about things. So I do understand that, but it makes me, just makes me chuckle that, that people are that Neanderthalic that will do things like that.
Does it frustrate you how other men react because it sucks for you, basically? Like, man, these guys are putting a bad name out for me.
Well, you even said the same thing recently. You said the same thing about women that you saw recently. You're saying, oh man, y'all just give us a really bad name. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, these people.
Keep going. What else we got?
Number six. They expect more from you than they expect from themselves.
Again, that's a both sides thing.
Yeah, well, your 16 flags person, I think, expects more from women than he does for himself.
Not necessarily, because if you know the person's backstory, you realize that they are very strict and regimented with their own personal life. Gym at 4:30, doing the business at 7, work until about 8 p.m. So it's very regimented.
So his backstory matters, but women's don't?
I didn't say women's backstories didn't matter.
He did not say that.
Well, no. He just knows what he wants. Oh, okay. We're going to get into this another day. I feel like that should be a Patreon where I'm literally just, we're going point counterpoint here. Yeah, that wouldn't be helpful. But this is one of those where it can go both sides of the planet.
No.
Because if you yourself are a perfectionist, you automatically think yourself of a higher echelon because you hold yourself to that higher standard. Why would you want to date down? We always talk about this. People always complain about dating down, settling versus reaching. I don't expect anyone to do anything. I have hopes that they won't be a jackass and an asshole. I have hopes that they're going to be a decent human being. But for me to expect anyone to behave like myself or anyone to expect me to behave like them, that's unfortunate.
Expectations are a problem.
Yes, we've talked about this. And people still tell me that it's okay to have expectations. I'm like, I don't think expectations are the right descriptor.
Hope. Expectations is not the right. When you can't walk around expecting things from anything or anyone. Unless you have communicated, this is what I want you to do, and they agree with it. Then have that expectation, and then be flexible whether they come through or not. But there has to be communication involved. The problem is when people have expectations without communicating. So, anyways, when I think of this one, I think of a typical. They do this in Hollywood a lot, where there's this drunk, overweight guy on the couch while the woman's running around cleaning and. And he's yelling at her, "Give me another beer," kind of thing. And that's what I think of when I think of this red flag. That's what popped into my head. I have never met people like that. So I don't know if that's a Hollywood painting, that picture, or people actually are like that or not.
What's the flag?
They expect more from you than they expect from themselves.
No, but see, that is where the mind shifted has... The mind shift has happened for me specifically too. I can self-disclose this. Goes back to what I just said. If I want to be with someone who is warm, loving, nurturing, a little feisty, independent, blah, 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 how am I going to sit here and be the complete antithesis of what I hope to attract? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. That's me saying, I'm going to treat you like dirt, but still want you to kiss my feet when I walk in the door.
Yeah.
Antiquated.
There are expectations like that. Again, expectations. Well, it's just like, and you have to be aware of this going into a relationship too. Like for me, health and fitness is important for me and my partner. And I can't expect my partner to be in the best shape of their life and me not do anything. That's very similar. And then they complain and you're like, oh, you're just a jerk. You just body shamed me. No, that's not. What's important is fitness, and you expect your partner to be fit, but you're not doing anything about it. That's a problem. So,
so Jeannie says in the chat, she's crazy regimented, type A, super driven. Being with someone who isn't those things isn't dating down. It's creating a working compliment. This is true. Two of me is too much, but we do have to be kind and decent. Yes.
Yeah.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Yes. I am, Sarah, as you well know, most people know me, I am one of the most laid-back, relaxed dudes you're ever going to meet. Only rarely you're going to see me have that angry, that typical Damien from New York vibe mindset.
So imagine
me dating someone who is constantly demeaning or constantly trying to puff up her chest, not literally, obviously, but figuratively speaking, you know, ha 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 ha. But that won't work. That will not work. That is not a compliment to me.
No. Yeah. So.
And yes, Diane, I agree with you completely that the antiquated thoughts are connected to the cultural upbringing. I agree, because in my family's culture, as you all well know me, my dad has always been the breadwinner and my mom has been the homemaker. And whenever I even remotely suggested that my mom get a job after we all left the house as adults and that my father, you know, kind of take a half step back from working so hard, I was met with laughter. I was left with the exact words, take that hippie bullshit out of here. That was one of the actual words in Spanish, essentially cussing me out. And it's almost as if I broke a code of the family, because typically in the 40s and 50s and 60s, that was the norm. But the norms change, my friends. The norms change. We evolve or we die. That's kind of how life works.
Yep. I was met with some resistance when I said I did not want to be that typical
housewife.
Whatever. Yeah, housewife. I'm not a very good housewife. I'm not. It's not my thing. Yeah. Okay. Number 7. They talk about other women as crazy or hysterical. Okay, I want to read. Let's see. I'm going to read all of this. Why it's a problem. It's not a woman's job to educate her man or help make him better member of society. It's more emotional labor that women don't need. Not only that.
Is that the same one you read?
Sounds
nope. Like the same one. Okay.
I know. Whoever wrote this does not want to be taking care of a man. Basically, they're sexist and it's going to crop up later.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm.
That the men are sexist?
And it's going to crop up later in your relationship. Men talk about their women. It says a lot about them because we live in a society. What is this? Patriarchal society. How they talk about is it? I think it's like a general statement where, and listen, I don't know about this one because I talk about women as being crazy.
Wow. Eric Wardle chimes in, says, I long in and hear Sarah say I'm sexist. Ouch.
Oh, hi, Dad. Yep.
Oh, is that your dad? Oh, great. Sarah's dad's listening. I love it.
I did not say you were sexist. Not yet, at least. It may pop up.
So what if women are crazy? What if men and women that you're dating are crazy?
Oh, well, if they are crazy, they are crazy. I mean, okay, this one I'm having a hard time with because there are a lot of crazy people in general. A lot of crazy women. I've been around some crazy women. I've been around a lot of crazy women. And yeah, I've been around a lot of hysterical women. So I have a hard time with this one. Mind you, this is not my article. I did not.
So I will say this. I will. I guess I remember in college, and if my friend Ricky was listening, he knew exactly who I was talking about. I remember once I parked my car in my dorm parking lot, and I was talking to some girl at the time casually. I was about maybe 21 at the time, 21, 22, and I told her I didn't want to hang out anymore. I didn't want to see her anymore. And lo and behold, the next morning I wake up and see that my bumper has been smashed repeatedly with what looks to be a ginormous rock or baseball bat. And as much as homegirl tried to front like she didn't do it, everybody named mama knows it was her. She crazy.
Yeah.
That is a crazy act.
Yeah.
What was the one girl? The one that we saw recently, there was a woman that tried to burn a man's car like it was waiting to exhale. And then the fireball got her. So she burned herself while trying to blow up homeboy's car.
Yeah. Listen there. That's some ratchet behavior.
Yeah. Just New York saying. Is indeed known for the crazies, Diana.
I love New York. That's probably why I love New York, because it is just so crazy. It's thoroughly entertaining to be around. I do not want to partake in the craziness, but it is. I love it.
My car was not keyed. It was just hit with a bat or some blunt objects.
Oh, man. Humans.
What's next?
They're not particularly kind.
Men that aren't kind. Okay, what in the hell?
This is a red flag for me. Well, I was going to read it. I'm going to read why it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to read all of this. This is a tough one because we also live in a world that's not great at teaching boys or men how to be kind. Which means the truly kind men are hard to find. Plenty of men are nice. They're not going out there out of their way to offend anyone. Okay, I'm gonna have a problem with this one. But they're also not going out of their way to help anybody out either. This is a red flag for me because I don't believe that a man can truly support equality until he has also learned how to be kind and compassionate without worrying about his manliness. A guy who has drunk the Kool-Aid of the patriarchy is often going to have a problem with this type of kindness that gets him nothing in return, but that kindness matters most. All right. Can I react to this one? Because this
go ahead. I was going to jump in, but go ahead. I can't wait to hear yours. Go ahead.
Women, you actually do not want, you think, I've done this before. You think you want this nice guy. You think you want this, and you have to be, you need to clarify what niceness is, because, or kindness is, because I know plenty of kind men who still fit into the patriarchal manliness. You don't want this guy who's just overly sweet and puts you on a pedestal. Oh my God, you do not want that. You actually do not want that. If you have not heard me rant about this, was this last one or two of them ago?
I feel like every one of them.
You don't want it. You actually do not want it. You can sit there and say, no, I really do want the nice guy. No, you don't. You don't. It gets tiresome after a while. You don't want to be put on a pedestal. They will change who they are just to put you on a pedestal. Just because, this is what she wants and I'm going to bend over backwards. And then you lose the guy you actually liked in the first place. You want a guy that's actually firm in who he is and won't be walked all over by a woman or a man or anyone else. So, thank you, Dad.
Your dad agrees with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably learned it from him. I know I learned it from him. I've heard him say this. You don't actually want a nice guy. You want them to respect you and respect your boundaries, but you don't want this overly nice guy that puts you on a pedestal. You don't. Okay?
Well, we've talked about this. You and I have talked about the fact that if someone was doing it to you, mm-hmm. how would it make you feel? It would make you feel like a possession, almost.
Yeah.
A prized possession. And in reality, that face right there tells me enough right there.
Yeah. I'm tired of women being like, I want to be treated like a queen. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't.
Diana says it's annoying to always be on the pedestal. Just get me a ladder. I'll get down myself. That's
like
a good
it.
One.
Just I like it.
Take the elevator down.
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad's right. We will change who we are and won't be able to maintain it. Mm-hmm. So I take it your dad has done this, if he said we.
He's talking about men in general.
Oh, okay.
men in general.
Yeah. I remember the Wayans brothers. I saw an episode once where Marlon's character claimed to like all this extreme sports and stuff just so he can get some viscosity. And at one point, it involves him jumping out of a hot air balloon to the point where he asks her, if I do this, are we ever going to, you know, get the viscousness? And she goes, no, you're just a hangout buddy. He goes, oh, F that. And he jumps off the balloon to escape the date.
No, I will tell you, my dad has been known as the nice guy. He's become less nice as he's gotten older.
Okay, good. I was going to step in there, but okay, good.
9. They reveal ulterior motives for helping others. Ooh, I actually agree with this one.
What do you mean they reveal?
Okay, let me say why it's a problem. The biggest problem with this one is that you can't trust a guy who only does the right thing when there's something in it for them. Like, viscous. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go into depth on this one for me personally after you react. Uh-huh. To a certain extent, I don't really care what anyone does on their best days. I want to know what they do on their worst days. A man might find it easy to be kind when he wants something, but then he acts like a jerk as soon as he knows there's nothing in it for him. Call me crazy, but I'd prefer to avoid such shenanigans altogether.
I think we hit a nerve with your dad, by the way.
Did we? Ouch. I love you, Daddy. I'm gonna be honest. Go ahead.
Okay. In response to that, and I'm gonna preface it by saying, I never switch up who I am to impress somebody else.
Good.
I'm not a nice guy. I say it all the time. I'm not a nice guy. I'm not a bad guy. I just happen to do nice things every so often. So when we talk about switching up the code and switching up, oh, what's in it for me? What's one of the first things I ask, Sarah? If people ask me to do something I'm not comfortable with.
Why?
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? Yeah, no, you do ask that. But you don't hide it.
Exactly. So there is no ulterior motive. I'm literally telling you what's in it for me off the top. I'm a mercenary. That's kind of how it is.
So I have 2 things on this one. So one is, this was a huge issue in my marriage, but it was when it, and then I'm sorry, my AC is doing its weird thing again, like it did the other day. Ignore it. But it was an issue in my marriage because, like, when I go out to restaurants, I tip, and I tip well, and it would be a problem. It's like, oh no, they don't deserve that. Why? Well, what are they going to do for me? Are they going to tip me when I'm in a restaurant? I don't know. Like it was always stuff like that. It was like, no, they haven't done anything for me, so why am I going to do anything for them? Which doesn't stand well within me. I know me, though. I am naturally extremely giving, but I also give without ever expecting anything back.
Exactly. And that's completely fine to be that grateful and provide gratitude and service to people without expectation, which is great and fine. But we live in a world.
Go ahead.
No, continue your point. I'm sorry.
My issue was when I was in a relationship with that person, it was a problem because we had to share resources. And so I guess when you're in a relationship, this is something to consider. We shared resources. And when I was like, hey, you know, I want to give, what was it, like a guitar away to this person. Why? What are they going to do for you? No, I don't know. They just felt like they wanted the guitar and I'm not using it. Go ahead. Like, that's me. And it was a problem. Well, what are they going to do for you when times get hard? Are they going to be there for you? I don't know. I'm not looking for that. I'm not doing that. So in a relationship, it may be something to consider. My other thought on this is, though, when you are in a relationship, we talk about this often. What are you bringing to the table? What do you bring to the table for that other person?
And we've actually asked people that, and they look as dumbfounded.
Yep.
What does that mean? And then you have to explain, and it's a headache. It really is a headache. And yes, Miranda, that is. I'm going to show Miranda's comment. You're not a good guy. You're not a bad guy. You're the guy, and that is an inside joke for professional wrestling. So that's funny. I'm just me, man. That's it. Neither good nor bad nor otherwise. I'm just me. Oh, man. So, Sarah, when people ask you, what do you bring to the table? Do you get annoyed by that statement?
Do I get annoyed with it? No. Annoyed is not the word. I take it very seriously. So it's a hard question for me to answer. Because I want to know, like, I know when women ask it for men, it's more resources and finances and what are you bringing to the table? And I don't know that when men ask it, if it's for the same reason. That's my question to you. Is it for resources? Or do they want to know what are you bringing to the table mentally, man, physically, emotionally?
I don't want to waste my time with a hood booger. Bottom line, I don't want to waste my time with someone who's ratchet. I don't want to waste my time with someone who's a money grubber or they are materialistic, because as you know, and some people do, I'm a minimalist at heart. So that doesn't vibe with me. But if you tell me, hey, you know, I'm this, I'm that, and you show me through actions more so than words, because that's what really matters in the long run, then I'm more liable to want to allow this person access to my life. Forget my resources. Just access to my life, to my day to day. Yeah. What else you got?
Last one. They won't give or take an apology. And this goes, honestly, I feel like this one goes both ways.
They won't take an apology or give one. Okay. Because apologizing is a sense of vulnerability. Acknowledging one's wrongs is often hard.
Yes.
As we get older, we kind of mellow out about that. But when we're younger, obviously we are defiant. We are less likely to acquiesce. And to, you know, some of us double down on our defiance. I see that constantly. To meld both of my worlds here. Wrestling Twitter will always double down on their defiance whenever I talk to people about professional wrestling.
Wrestling Twitter is a trip, mind you.
It is a cesspool among cesspools. And people will double down on their defiance. And there are other things that we know that people will double down on. Politics, religion, the unholy trinity almost, of things not to double down on. And people will still do that.
Like their choice in Whataburger or In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, I will double down on that. Yes, I will double down on that.
You want me to define that one? I will too.
Whataburger's trash. I'll say it again. Whataburger is trash.
I cannot say those words. I am an eighth generation Texas.
Oh, wow. Your dad put you on blast. Up. Wow. Sarah's birthday is coming up in a few days. She always gets nicer around her birthday. I wonder why. This is your dad throwing you under the bus, by the way.
He's full of caca, too. His birthday's coming up, too. So he better watch out.
What are you going to slash his tires? What is that?
I don't know. I'm sassy. my father's also an In-N-Out fan, by the way. Again, he's from California. I am an eighth generation Texan, so I will not say my opinion.
Okay, so the last few times we've had Whataburger, Sarah.
I'm going to double down on this one. I'm going to be defiant. Okay, the last few times we've had Whataburger have been awful. Yes. It has been awful.
And that lets you actually be a vegetarian. Go figure.
Listen, my dad's on the ear. Don't tell him this stuff. I'm going to have to hear about that. He's listening. But, okay, this one is important in general. The won't give up, won't give or take an apology. That's human relationships in general. It's kind of important for me. It's an ego thing. Is that person in your life willing to be like, all right, I effed up. I effed up and I'm sorry. Like, I have more respect for any human that can do that. I try very hard to be that person because I know how important it is to me. We talk about attracting what we want by being what we want. And that's one thing I do, is I try to, at least. It's hard because sometimes ego very much is involved, and not being able to apologize can definitely be a red flag. In general, it can be a red flag in the workplace, working for someone. It could be, there could be it's a red flag with human relationships.
I completely understand. Me 10 years ago, I would have rarely apologized. I would have swept it under the rug and said, well, that's just who I am. Which for me is the ultimate cop out. That's just who I am. No, that means you're not willing to grow and evolve. You never stop growing. You never stop learning. You never stop evolving and changing. That is how we are able to survive as a species. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's just the way I am, to quote Charlie Puth.
And that is the 10 I have. There was another list I have. And actually, I'm going to read the first one on this list because it goes off of exactly what we've been saying. Number one on this list is they can't stop telling you how perfect they are. Don't put your partner on a pedestal. That was number one on that list. I just opened it. Sorry.
I was like, who's perfect? Like me or the person?
So this list is why I didn't choose this list, was because it was for both men and female, just dating red flags in general. I was trying to find one specifically for men. But that one was, if your partner keeps putting you on a pedestal, it's a problem.
See, your dad understands where I'm coming from.
For what?
Evolution, change.
Mm-hmm. It does. Actually, this one we may cover another time. Because it's okay. Got some good ones we can go. We'll do later. But so, it's for in general.
Okay. So. And with that, I want to segue into the fun part of the show for me. Folks, it is scary out here in the dating market.
Oh, my God.
You want to know why it's scary? You want to know why it's weird? Because I have not been super single in over 10 years. So, wow. Sarah and I, we, you know, she asked me to take a trip with her. We went to New Brothels. She had a wedding to go to. I chilled out and got my workout on. But when we went out later on that night, we went to this open spaced lounge, and my God, the peacocking and the up down stairs, the deaf stares by women to men, which was the one thing that really got my attention, because you noticed it. You noticed when we walked in that you saw at least 5 women who looked at me like I was a piece of meat.
Yep, and then looked at me like I was a problem.
Yes, like you were dirt. And I didn't notice it because I don't pay attention to things like that.
Oh, my God.
But Sarah, what are some things you noticed about being out in the wild this past weekend?
So I'm going to preference this. I have said since I've recently been back into the single atmosphere, I was like, man, I really missed out in my 20s. I didn't go out to clubs. I never did the bar life. I never did any of that. And I felt like I was missing out in life.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't. I really wasn't. That one night, and I'm good. I that was enough. It was crazy.
Let me just preface to people. We did socially distance. I had my mask on 90% of the time, except when I was drinking. Other than that, I had my mask on.
We were masked up.
It stunk like stale cigarettes the whole
time. It was awful. Mm-hmm. I think we're still recovering just from the cigarettes.
Yes.
But there were women. Damien and I are sitting there both drinking Deep Eddies because it's Texas vodka. Vodka is not a good choice for me to drink because I'm ready to fight people. And I was pretty close to fighting people. We had women literally bump right in front of me, bump into you, look you up and down, look at me, do this, and walk away. I'm like, girl, I'm not competing with you. Like, go ahead. Like, I'm not in this competition. The fact that... Oh, God. It was a competition. It was like, let me see if I can be the biggest, I don't know, let me see how many men I can get. That was basically what it felt like. It was like animals. I don't even know. I can't comprehend everything.
That is the best way to put it. It was like, it felt like a cattle herding situation, a cattle call. There was just so much going on. And mind you, this was a, I would say San Marcos, New Brothels, is a smaller town. smaller and like to a bigger city.
Compared to like New York,
But in generality, I just felt so weird being there. I mean, the vodka was cheap and that's always good for me, but...
And also a problem.
But my God, man. And just, I'm not the kind of dude that goes out to talk to women. I go out to hang out with my people. That's always what I've done. You know, if I strike up a conversation with someone, that's cool. It's not my intention to take anybody home. What was that?
Which we did strike up some conversation.
Oh, we struck up a conversation. And I want to preface this by saying it was not my intention for it to go down this path. So I'm sorry for Sarah's dad if he's listening to this right now. So we were approached by a swinger couple. That's the first thing. I didn't know that when I came over.
No.
And also something I did not know was the gentleman of the swinger couple asked you if I like men because he wanted to take a run at your boy.
Yeah. And then on one hand, specifically asked honor. If you liked it in the booty.
Yeah. I didn't hear that part, but you said you heard that part. I will say honored. Thanks. Always appreciate when anyone has the nerve and the chutzpah to approach me and ask me things. But then what the funny part was, they tried to bring in this third girl into the mix with the two of us, who was unbelievably wasted and trashed. And she was one of the first women that looked me up and down. We walked in the place in the first place.
Oh, God. Yeah. And she brought like 4 or 5 different dudes over. And then we were watching. Okay, so this is what we do. We go out and we are sitting there studying everyone.
Your dad knew it was coming, by the way. Your dad knew the dude was going to ask me for some reason.
Oh, he did. And he was like, but why? This is what he said. He said, so does he like dudes? I was like, no. He's like, but why is he so clean? I was like, okay. I had had enough vodka and I was ready. I was already ready to be Jesse. I was like, because he's got more self-respect for himself. Like, I was just like, I had no problem being like, nah, there's no, I was ready to fight. I didn't care who it was. I was going to fight someone. I didn't, but I've never been closer to fighting anyone in my entire life. I was like, he's got more self-respect for himself. So he looks nice. Is that a problem? Like, this guy was actually really nice. He was very nice. And I was ready, but he diffused my anger quite quickly.
I think you wanted to fight the drunk girl.
Homegirl. She brought, there's like 5 different dudes over. We were watching them and they all disappeared for some reason. And the second we met her, we realized why.
Mm-hmm. She fit a lot of the red flags we talked about. Oh, we saw a whole bunch of red flags, by the way. Yes. We saw
a whole bunch
of red flags everywhere. And I know you feel that since you've been working as a bartender, you have come across women who are red flags as well.
Yeah, I kind of hate you for that. I mean, now everyone, I'm like, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. Oh, your problem. Oh, my God. Everyone. It's everyone. Everyone. Everyone's got their... I don't know if that's good or not, but
look, I have no qualms about a gentleman asking me if I'm interested. I will turn them down politely. I only am attracted to women, and that is that on that topic. But the best part for me at the end of that were two things. Number one, after he found out I wasn't interested, he put his partner on to me, and she asked me if I'd be willing to take a ride on her childbearing hips. And I'm cleaning it up for the timeline. Yes, I'm cleaning it up for the timeline.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say she wanted to have a seat on me. Yes. Yes. And and then my I don't want to say guilt kicked in, but with the young woman who was clearly inebriated, I felt it was kind of a civic duty to just make sure she got home okay, or at least she wasn't going to into a situation that left her at risk.
This is where you're nicer than I am.
Yeah, I asked her more than one occasion, are you okay? Yes. And you even asked her, you got a way to go home? Yeah, I'm going to go home.
Oh, I straight up. I was like, you good to go home with them? Yeah, I want to. All right.
Okay. We asked multiple times, are you okay? And I refused to leave until I knew she was actually okay. Sarah gave me grief for it, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to make sure that she was okay before we left.
I was done. So this is the biggest thing I got out of the night that drove me nuts. I'm pretty positive I went on a rant about this there loudly, about how women are their own greatest downfall. This is what Drunk Sarah said, and she's not wrong. I just spoke to myself in the third person. Yes.
Yes.
Women, why are you competing against each other? If you want actual true equality, okay? True equality, not this superior to men BS, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. Stop tearing each other down. Stop looking at each other as competition. That's not what, you want a healthy relationship. Stop going to places like this and taking other, I don't even know. Taking other women's men and feeling powerful about that. I have been in my previous relationship where women get some sort of sick high on taking a married man. Mm-hmm. And it's a problem. It's a problem. The fact that a song exists saying, I can take your man if I want to, lucky for you, I don't want to, that is a huge problem. That's a huge problem. You're destroying relationships. You're destroying families. For what? And honestly, I believe in karma. That's going to come back and bite you in the ass. Why are you going to cause pain for another woman? Why? Just be a better human. You want women to be better? Be better.
You so yourself. Derek says, where should they go, first. Sarah?
Where should they go? Not near me. Okay.
Done? Good? Feel better?
I'm done. I was more passionate and mean and loud at the bar, though. So, yeah. Right. Be better humans, please.
I feel as if we always end an episode with trying to trying to engage people to be better humans. Because, man, it's tough enough out here for a lot of people, just in general, on a humanistic level. Mm-hmm. But yet, here we go. They should go mind their own business.
Cat, I love you. Yes.
Oh, is that Cat?
That's Cat. That's Cat. That's my girl.
I want to have Cat on the show one day. I need to have her on the show one day.
Yeah. So, yes. Be better humans. Here's the thing. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. We talk about this all the time. Own your shit. Be better. Just be better. Stop competing with anyone. Don't compete with anyone but yourself, who you were yesterday, who you are now. Find out what you need to improve on and be better that way. Just be a better human. I'm spicy again.
I'm saying you turn into Coach Sarah at the snap of a finger. That was impressive. You went into full-fledged coach speak, and I didn't even have to prompt you for it. That's no. Really good.
Thank you. It's innate in me.
So your father is saying he's learned this episode that his daughter gets drunk, she's tending bar, and she hangs out with swingers.
Oh yeah, you didn't know I'm a bartender now, Dad.
Oh yeah, she works at Free Play.
I work at Free Play Richardson. So that was the thing too. I missed home. I missed Free Play so much at this bar. So much so that's what we, as soon as we got back, that's what we went and did. We were like, Replay.
Yeah, I will say this. For me being out in, I'll call it the wilderness, for the first time in a long time, it was jarring, but it definitely reminded me just like I was in college. It was just a cattle call. It was just one big old meet up kind of thing. And
literally,
you had people with stank attitudes. You had people who were trying to be bossy, people being rude to waitstaff.
Yeah.
People trying to obviously pick other people up and not in a more sneakier way. It just felt weird, man. And
that was my first. I didn't have a college experience like that. Hashtag Bible college. But I did not. That was my first and last experience like that. I was not about that life. And I came back. We left. I was kind of upset with how my life was going when we left. And by the time I got back, I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy with my life.
You are happy with yourself.
I was quite grateful for who I was as a person in that moment.
Everybody, if you want to support the show, you could always do so. We actually do take donations through Cash App, using my Cash App, Coach Damon G. Find the show on multiple streaming platforms. We wanted to do another topic, but we'll save that for a later episode. It was about the dating wall, something that Sarah has learned about recently. I think we'll save that for later in the week. So please be sure to check either my Facebook live streams or Sarah's, or on YouTube or on Periscope under the Damon G banner. Anything else you want to plug?
That's our new Instagram page, which is Damien's Advocate, right?
At Damien's Advocate on Instagram.
At Damien's Advocate on Instagram. It's brand new, like a week old, if that. So
something
go follow
like
there.
Find the show at DamonGShow@gmail.com if you have a question, a comment, or a concern. Find Sarah at Coach_GirlFriday. Might change that. Find me at Damon G Show on all your social media platforms. And remember, without you, there is no us. And don't be a dick. Please don't be a dick.